Dr. Shabir, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
Pleasure to be on.
When people speak about hijab, they often talk about chapter 24, verse 31, Dr. Shabir. This is the most popular one and the one that we've been talking about for the last few episodes. But Dr. Shabir, there's an important verse right before that, verse 30, that's particularly important because it gives some context to verse 31. So maybe you can start by telling us what that verse is about.
Yeah, okay, sure. So far, it looks like we put the cart before the horse because we discussed verse number 31.
Yes.
And now we come
why,
back to
30. Why did we start with 31? Well, that's because it's the one that's most described.
Yes, it's crucial. But verse number 30 is important for establishing that context. And what it shows is that both men and women have restrictions. And the Quran started with men by saying in verse number 30, كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing men that, here it could have meant believing men and believing women, but because we know that believing women will be addressed in the next verse, here we can think of it being intending men specifically. Mm-hmm. So tell the believing men that they are to lower their gazes and guard their modesty. In fact, guard their private parts.
Mm-hmm.
That is more pure for them, and God is aware of what they are up to, like mm-hmm. what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, if any man is, you know, trying to do any kind of anything shady, he should know that God is aware of all of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
So, men are already being addressed here and being told to lower their gazes and guard their private parts. That's before women are being told to cover up in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a two-sided effort. If you want decency to be preserved in society, the burden is not on women alone to preserve that decency. The burden is also on men to lower their gazes, which is not an easy thing because, you know.
And to guard their private parts.
And to guard their private parts
as well. Which is even more significant,
exactly,
right?
Which means they cannot commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cannot commit adultery, they have to stay away from everything that is leading towards adultery.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be, you know, allowing themselves to be taken down a garden path and then, you know, being unable to stop themselves. So they have to start by, you know, lowering their gazes because it starts there where, you know, a man sees something that he's attracted to and then he pursues it. And it's not an easy thing for men to lower their gazes. That's a command from God. And we violate it all of the time because the human eyes are like this. I mean, our brains are like this. If a mouse moves across the room, we're going to follow that mouse mm-hmm. with our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's interesting that the next verse tells women to lower their gazes too.
That's true.
So it's
yes.
a command for both men and women.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And to also to guard their private parts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that establishes an important part of the context. And it shows the whole ethos behind covering the parts of the female body. It's there for a reason. It's to preserve decency in society. And as we said, it has to be a two-way street with both men and women cooperating to make that happen.
So Dr. Shabir, let's move on to verse 60 from the same chapter, 24. And I think that provides a little bit more context for us to understand verse 31.
Yes. And of course, verse 30 and verse number 60 bracket the one which
yes.
people are always looking at to define the hijab. So we come now to verse number 60, and it says basically, وَالْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا يَرْجُونَ نِكَاحًا فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ أَنْ يَدَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِزِينَةٍ. As for the women who are past the age of childbearing and do not intend to get married, there is no sin on them if they should do away with the outer garments.
Okay.
Thiab is the plural for thawb, which means a large outer cloak that might be worn over above the house dress. Now, you were questioning
so, yeah.
me about the house dress.
Yes. So what's a thiab? What's a thawb?
So here we're back to explanations mm-hmm. that are given in the books of commentary. The explanations typically capitalize on this differentiation between the house dress and the outer cloak.
Okay.
So the outer cloak may be called thiab, as in this, thiab is the plural, thawb is singular. Thawb is still being used today to refer usually to a man's garment.
Mm-hmm.
A large garment like I'm wearing here would be called a thawb.
Mm-hmm.
And so thiab is the plural. So apparently women at the time, according to the classical commentators, and as I said, this is indisputable. Everybody agrees that this is what used to happen, whether it's fictional or not, but this is what is all agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the women used to have the house dress that they would wear at home. Their brothers and so on can see them in that dress. It's not indecent, but their arms would be exposed and so on because they go about their daily chores. When they are ready to go out of the house, they would put on the large outer cloak. That's called a thau, or plural thiab. So for the women who are now past the age of childbearing and do not intend to get married, in other words, they're not going to go flaunt themselves to try and attract the opposite gender, they are allowed to cast off the thiab, the thau. They don't have to wear that outer garment. In other words, the kind of house dress they wore at home, in the presence of their brothers and men with whom they feel safe, like their servants and so on, who do not have any desire towards them, they can wear the same house dress when they go out. They don't have to have the outer cloak.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's no sin on them. But the verse continues to say, وَأَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرُ اللَّهُنْ. But if they remain modest, this is better for them.
Mm.
So you can see here that there's a differentiation between what is the requirement and what is, you might say, a
more ideal.
More ideal, or, you know, in Islamic law, we have a differentiation between fard, which is required, and nafil, which is superfluous, and you get reward if you do it, but you don't get any sin if you leave it off. So here we can say that it would be fard for the woman to have her house dress still. And if she dons an outer garment over and above that, this is nafil. It is
for an older woman.
For an older woman, yes.
Yes.
So she would get reward for that, but she does not have any sin if she was to throw it off, because the verse is very clear. Laysa alayhinna junah. They shall have no sin if they were to cast it off.
Okay.
So we have a basic requirement, and then we have some addition on top of that. We can see this in all of Islamic law, and we see it when it comes to the dress of men. But somehow, when it comes to the dress of women, this differentiation is not often enough made. And people speak as if the whole woman has to be covered from top to bottom, and there is no kind of leeway for any part to be exposed. As if you expose one part, it's as if you exposed the whole body. So you may as well have been walking naked the way you might be accused.
So hold on a minute. So this verse is saying that women should be wearing a thawb. Like, it's suggesting that generally women should be wearing a thawb, which seems to be something that we didn't discuss before.
Actually, we did, because I said that Surah 24, verse number 31 is interpretable and has been interpreted to mean that a woman would wear her house dress in the presence of her brothers and her father and so on. But then when she goes out of the house, she would have an outer garment. So if I didn't mention it clearly,
so would that
if
be khimar?
So this outer garment is not mentioned in Surah 24, verse number 31, but it's mentioned in the commentaries regarding that verse. And the same garment is referred to, according to commentators, in Surah 33, verse number 59, which we need to discuss in some more detail. And there it is called jilbab. So it's a different term for the same garment, they say. But it is a large outer garment that will hide the house dress. So whereas the house dress is somewhat revealing, but not indecent, it's revealing much of the arm, is revealing part the lower part of the legs and so on. And that is thought to be fine at home, but not fine for going out of the house. And so the woman would wear this outer garment.
Okay.
But the older woman, who is past the age of childbearing and does not intend to get married, does not have to have that outer garment. She can go out of the house basically with the same house dress.
Okay. So Dr. Shabir, 24:31, right? It doesn't necessarily say, like, it's not necessarily commanding women to cover their head. It's just kind of implying that women already do.
Yes. There is a thing called khimar in the verse. And khimar we know today to mean a head cover.
Mm-hmm.
But what it meant at that time is not so entirely clear to me from my humble research. It just simply literally means a thing that covers. But the commentators say that it meant a head cover.
Okay.
So the women used that to cover their heads. So when we come to some hadith narratives that say that the women, hearing this verse, tore a part of their garments, and cover themselves with it. The commentators want to say that they cover their heads. And some translators disingenuously put it that they covered their faces. But from reading the explanations and the commentaries, especially in Ibn Kathir's commentary, it is apparent that the women used that torn piece of their garment to cover the chest area, because that was the issue at hand. That area is being exposed and needed to be covered. So it's a little bit of lack of clarity, but we can grant that, okay, the head covering is mentioned, if we take it to mean head covering, but it doesn't say literally that the women must wear the head covering. We can say that it seems to presume that there is a thing called head covering, which the women have, but they're instructed to use that to cover this part of the body.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Thank you for
You're
that,
welcome. Shabir. Support us today and help us share the message of Islam with people across the globe. Thank you, and may God bless you and your loved ones with the very best always.